Resurrect the Republic Truth Radio Broadcast. I'm your host, Tom Lacabara Stewart. Anyway, we ran out of time that first hour, and I wanted to share this clip with you because I think it's relevant. Also, by the way, here's a little bit of word of warning to you. And I'm not addressing the lady of the nonprofit organization that Abby Martin is interviewing. I just can't remember for the life of me, right off the tip of my tongue, it was another representative of a nonprofit pro Lyme disease rights group that was also on a government panel that tried to create a subcommittee. And a subcommittee, of course, doesn't need to record notes, doesn't need to be exposed to the public at all. And then some of the connections behind that individual were a little bit dubious. And I can't remember her name off the top of my head. I'm going to try and get that to you guys. But it's important, and I keep saying this, even when it comes to articles and things that you see that are clickbait titles that may resonate with you, that may have some seeds in truth, that you be very cautious about what you share and who you get behind. And this is including some of these, what's like Stalin said, how do you beat the opposition? You lead it. So what would you do? You would create a nonprofit organization and you would go to advocate, but at the same time, just slightly misdirect. And of course, we've seen this happen time and time and again, many different organizations that purport to be about something and actually are created to be the cover story. The conspiracy theory is that there are really actually people conspiring to deceive the public. That's just a fact. And if you don't believe that, then you're half tapped in the head. Anyway, I want to start this over for you. Here's Abby Martin on why the government is suppressing the Lyme disease epidemic.
According to the CDC, Lyme disease is the fastest growing insect-borne infectious illness in the United States. In fact, in the time it takes you to watch this show, 17 people would be diagnosed and potentially face a lifetime of physical, psychological, and economic suffering as a result. So here to discuss the growth of the disease and why it's largely ignored by the medical and scientific community is the CEO of LymeDisease.org, Lorraine Johnson. Thank you so much for coming on, Lorraine.
Thank you for having me.
So for those that don't know much about Lyme disease, can you first explain what it is, how it's contracted, and how many people we're talking about here that have it?
Well, Lyme disease is contracted through the bite of a tick. So if you're out hiking, you may be exposed to ticks. Ticks can transmit Lyme disease. They can transmit a number of other diseases at the same time. And the CDC has, until recently, said 30,000 people a year contract Lyme disease. Just this year, they revised their estimate to 300,000 people a year contracting Lyme disease. And just to put that in perspective, that's six times the annual rate of HIV/AIDS. So it's really quite a crisis right now.
What caused that extreme disparity in their previous reporting?
Well, their surveillance methods are really barriers to counting cases. They don't count laboratory tests straight out. They don't count physician diagnosis straight out. They have a number of steps that you have to go through in order to become a surveillance case. And it simply misses 9 out of 10 cases.
So let's talk about the CDC and the Infectious Disease Society of America, because according to them, Lyme disease just takes a month of antibiotics. It's not chronic. What do you say about that assessment?
Well, a lot of people do take a short course term of antibiotics, and they're well, but about 36%, the estimates range from 20 to 36% of people remain ill. And the question, the controversy is, what do you do with those 36% of people who are still ill, unable to work? I mean, 25% of the people end up on disability, 42% have had to stop work. So it's not a minor illness, it's a very serious illness.
Project Censored, one of the leading research organizations in the country, basically said that Lyme disease was one of the most censored stories of 2011 because of there's such a lack of kind of research data on this. Why do you think that is?
Well, there's a lack of research data in Lyme disease. There's actually a lot of research data, but it's just not at the treatment level. At the treatment level, there are only two main funding sources. One is the government funds research, and they've always said there were only 30,000 cases, so they haven't funded much research. They've only funded four trials. And the other main source of funding that you get for these high-level trials is the pharmaceutical industry. And they haven't had any interest in treatment because treatment is with generic antibiotics. It's not a moneymaker for them.
And let's talk about the vast array of diseases that Lyme is actually misdiagnosed for and what it can mimic?
Oh, it can mimic a number of diseases. It can mimic fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, depression, MS, ALS. And it's not clear that, all of these diseases are being misdiagnosed, but they have similar symptoms, and so it's easy to miss the diagnosis if you're not looking for it.
And the IDSA guidelines hold an incredible amount of power, of course, in the medical community of how to treat Lyme. What can happen to doctors who choose to treat it like it's not that month-solving illness, that it is indeed chronic?
This is a real crisis. What happens is these guidelines are treated essentially as though they were regulations, but there's been no public input on them. And so what happens is if a physician goes outside of the guidelines, they might find themselves before a medical board with the risk of losing their medical license. So there's a very, the IDSA has been very aggressive about enforcing its guidelines, and when physicians step outside, they run the risk of losing their license.
Isn't there this huge, huge differentiation between, 30% of people don't get cured from the antibiotics, but then these guidelines have very specific parameters for doctors. What happens to that kind of gray area?
Well, that's an interesting question, because ordinarily what medical guidelines will do if there's a gray area is they will provide treatment options. And in fact, the guidelines of the International Lyme and Associated Diseases Society does provide treatment options. It says educate the patients, tell them what the risk is of continuing to treat or to not treat, and then make determinations based on the context of the individual patient.
You mentioned research and that there's a lot of it that isn't necessarily, sponsored by the government, of course, because as we know, they kind of are lacking the full story here. Talk about your personal experience with the peer review process.
We had an interesting experience with the peer review process. I have 40 publications that have been published in peer-reviewed medical journals. And one of the publications that we submitted, we've had trouble with a lot of publications, but one of the publications I submitted with Dr. Stricker, it went through a very rigorous peer review process, was accepted for publication, and then the editors told us they were going to send it over to the IDSA. So they send it over to the IDSA, and the next thing we know, we're being handed a completely revised manuscript, doesn't bear any resemblance to what we said or what we would say, and we're told to take it or leave it. Well, we left it, and we went to another medical journal where it was published. But those are the types of tactics that you see to sort of keep a lid and suppress people who hold opposing viewpoints.
What did they edit out?
Oh, they edited out information about the number of cases that remain uncured. They edited out information about what correct guidelines should look like, how you ought to take into account patient preferences, how you should be providing people with treatment options like we do in breast cancer. Mm-hmm. We don't know what's best. Is it a lumpectomy or a mastectomy? It's your life. You get to make some choices there. So we pointed out things like that.
Interestingly enough, we called the CDC, and they actually said that you and your organization are spreading unscientific information. Just really interesting. How do you respond to this kind of smear campaign on behalf of this establishment?
Well, those are like personal attacks, and they're attempts to not engage in the issues. I mean, it's interesting because I've been involved in evidence-based medicine for the past 10 years, and with the Cochrane Association. I serve on the panels with PCORI, which is a patient-centered outcomes research institute, which was founded under the Affordable Care Act. So I'm very involved in evidence-based medicine. This dispute is not about evidence. This dispute is about, eminence-based medicine, opinions that are filling evidence gaps and a failure to look at a lot of new emerging evidence because it doesn't fit pet research theories.
I mean, I think everyone, especially if you live in kind of a woodsy area, I know someone who's had Lyme disease that was misdiagnosed. I think everyone has this kind of shared experience. You, obviously, this experience led you to pioneer this issue. How can we make sure that we are, getting the proper diagnosis, getting the proper treatment, of course? What's your advice to people on how they can properly diagnose themselves if they potentially have Lyme?
Well, if somebody has been out hiking, if they've been exposed to ticks, and sometimes in the backyard, you know, if you have a deer in your backyard, you may be exposed to ticks. And those people ought to be very careful. They should be doing tick checks. If they find a tick, they should get the tick tested to see if it carries any infections, because these can carry up to 7 different infections. And then if they go in and get treated, if they're not well, they need to start seeking solutions, because this illness is very severe for many people.
Thank you so much, Lorraine Johnson, CEO at LymeDisease.org. Really appreciate coming on.
Thank you.
So there you have it, folks. That's the RT report from Abby Martin. You know, as someone who has for most of my life suffered from what has been treated as a ghost illness called Lyme disease, I can tell you that the effects upon quality of life, relationships, work, and functionality has been hell. As a young man filled with potential, intelligence, and having come from an extremely well-educated family, I can tell you that the damage caused by this disease has nearly caused my death repeatedly. Oftentimes, I do not have the energy to keep going. I have to force myself to do so. Constant and relentless pain has led to prescription medication years back, which, when the government cracked down on doctors treating those symptoms, was cut off cold turkey. This led to self-medication that was a disaster for obvious reasons. That never seems to work out well. The entire course of my life has been constantly devastated over and over again, and I keep picking up the pieces and putting it back together. And this is from the direct result from this disease. From friends and family who can rather easily put this out of their minds because no overt injury is seen, as I've said, eventually they completely forget that the disease is attacking. It's not as flippant as their ability to understand. Other friends of mine from that same northeastern corridor that I lived in are experiencing the same problems. One who specifically worked for the prosecutor's office, the coroner's office, who had a very good job, very good paying job, and when the effects of Lyme disease attacked him, he lost everything and ended up just about homeless if it weren't for family. This is a professional individual who always had a good work ethic, and that's what it reduced him to. This is a silent weapon, and government has likely created it, certainly fostered it, and continue to make matters worse and worse by trying to deny it. And then, of course, there were a vaccine came out that was supposed to cure of it, which ended up causing more problems than not. So when the lethargy and the pain wear me down, I have often been subject to insults, arguments, put downs, general complete lack of understanding. All I can say to those people is that they never did and likely never will grasp the seriousness and the reality of this illness. The disease has driven many I know into homelessness, depression, and suicide. I've contracted Lyme disease when I was around 12 years old, as I told you. By early college, the short-term memory loss and other symptoms derailed my attempt to continue, and this was just the beginning. No one knew what it was then. I was diagnosed with the elusive fibromyalgia. And from there was told that there was nothing wrong with me, and it was all in my head, because fibromyalgia, after all, was a mental illness, and it couldn't be associated with a biological warfare agent that was either accidentally or intentionally unleashed on the population from a biological warfare testing facility, and certainly the federal government's never going to admit to any such thing, not as long as there are anybody remotely alive that had any connection to it, and there still are a few. It wasn't until many years later, after the years of absolute hell, that a doctor had the tenacity to reject all the threats by the medical and governmental establishment and test me, this diagnosing me accordingly. Had I been given the truth from the beginning, I might have been cured, but advancing into the latter stage of this disease has proven extremely difficult to knock it back, let alone be cured of. So take this seriously. If there are friends or loved ones that you have that suffer from this, don't be that person that castigates them. Don't be that person who fails to realize the depth of what they may face. And if you attempt to hold them to the standards you place on those that are healthy and unaffected, the chances are you're doing far more damage to them psychologically than the disease is doing physically. That is a very real possibility. So I urge people to open your minds and research for yourself what this causes. For this disease to be brought under control requires support, vigilance, understanding, and compassion. To awaken the world to its probable cause is the real battle. For the U.S. government to ever acknowledge that Lyme disease is the effect of a Nazi biowarfare program would likely take an act of God. But that is exactly what all the evidence points to, even though it may be circumstantial, and I believe that much of it is a little bit more than that. But certainly there is more evidence that is being classified for the purposes of national security. Well, I have a different idea of what I believe national security is, I believe, than most of in the establishment. Regardless of it being intentional or accidental at this point, like I said, what difference does it make? If we ignore the problem, and as a people, we are not only failing our own, but we are allowing the crime of the century to kill, maim, and destroy us from within. Many believe that the purpose of Plum Island is to create viruses and test experimental vaccinations on infected human beings. Outbreaks of previously eradicated diseases such as foot and mouth, West Nile, by the way, Ernest Traub was involved with that too, and avian flu have only added to these suspicions. The healthcare industry brings in trillions of dollars every year. If a new superbug hit the masses and our government had the only cure, that puts money directly into those pockets of those who hold patents and or companies who can produce vaccines and medications. Population control could also be achieved by wiping out the lower class who wouldn't be able to afford the cost of these medications. And we know such scenarios may not be so far-fetched from the words of these individuals themselves. Former Secretary of State Henry Kissinger once stated, "Depopulation should be the highest priority of America." Well, exactly how does one go about forwarding the agenda of depopulation? Seems to me you can't do it overtly. I guess that kind of makes enough sense. So then you look into the Rockefeller connections, which are interesting. Makes no sense. Lyme disease is a naturally occurring infection, at least not in the United States. Moreover, it would certainly not have been the kind of condition that could result in a pandemic, at least not on its own, not as an act of nature. It just wasn't an issue. People went outdoors all the time. There were plenty of deer, mice, other rodents too, yet no one in those prior eras, and this is in recorded history, reported symptoms such as Lyme disease to that extent. Of course, there were naturally occurring tick-borne viruses, Rocky Mountain spotted fever and others that could give similar, although more mild, effects. The fact that these guys were infecting insects and dropping them out of planes as testing should speak volumes in and of itself. But, you know, in history, there were no groups of people coming down with sudden onset of joint inflammation, no pockets of children with rheumatoid arthritis, no children or adults with bullseye rashes. This is, to me, very, very dubious. So how could it, after all these decades of non-existence, suddenly occur? And keep in mind, the actual spirochete is ancient. It's how it's being delivered now that's very interesting. I think they found a mummy with the actual, or at least so they say, had the spirochete in it. But how could this outbreak occur? Only in one or two areas, Lyme and Old Lyme, Connecticut, and Long Island, New York, in such proximity. The only logical explanation involves biowarfare research conducted at New York State's Plum Island, right off the Connecticut Old Lyme shoreline. So in all likelihood, experiments were conducted with diseased ticks on U.S. soil. Surely on the island, at the minimum, is what the evidence seems to point to. We'll be back after a few words from our sponsors, Resurrect the Republic, Truth Radio Broadcast on RBN. Tom Lacovara-Stewart. Be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Welcome back. Resurrect the Republic Truth Radio broadcast with Tom Lacovara Stewart, Lori Anderson, Rudy and Aaron Davis, Joe Kaiser. I'm sure I'm forgetting a couple people, but anyway, we are a group now. Oh, well, Eric, the Freedom Screamer. Don't forget Eric. I think that, you know, if we don't finish our presentation for today, I'll try and continue it on Monday. But I do want to take a caller who also reports to have Lyme disease. And I think that, that hearing from people who are suffering from this often is as important, if not more important than some of this information. So Joe in Kansas, how are you?
Hello, Tom. Thank you for being there. And thank you for talking about this. I'm an RN. Lyme disease is everything you've said, but what you've just said is 100% true. I hope that everyone is listening to you and will support family members who have this. It is a bioweapon, as you stated, and it just magically escaped that level 4 lab, probably risking my life calling you. But many doctors, if you don't have this bullseye rash, this erythema migrans, it's called, will not treat you for Lyme disease. I found a good one. I've had doctors tell me, thankfully I have not had the problems that many people have had with this and spent thousands of dollars on doctors. Like what you said, these people are in horrible pain. Everything's wrong. This affects many body systems. At one time, I don't know, I never heard it. I know what a heart murmur sounds like. a nurse practitioner who told me I had a heart murmur, and my there's no cardiac problems in my family, so this was very odd, and that's when I was suffering from Lyme. I had this when I was in nursing school. Every joint I had hurt, and as a present, that was many years ago. I think I've probably had it for 30 years or 40 years. It explains many aches and pains. But I got reinfected in it. You know, yes. I man, you don't know how much I appreciate you talking about this.
Oh, well, you know, it's very personal to me. So you're welcome, but, you know, I'm also, you know, I feel as somebody who's been dealing with this for a long time that I almost feel that I've neglected my responsibility to talk about it more. So I thank you for that, but we're going to try and step up our efforts here.
You are dealing with this too.
Yes, yes. I've been suffering from it since I was 12. Yep.
Yes. Well, I'm in mid-60s, and I've had how many years then have you been suffering from it?
God, I'm in my late 40s since I was 12, and it took me until I was nearly in my early 30s to be properly diagnosed.
It's a clinical diagnosis. The iSpot is a relatively new test. I don't think it's any good. The Western
I don't
blot,
think so either.
31 and 34 K bands on the Western blot can be read either way. The ELISA is pretty much worthless, but that's what they use. The CDC makes it nearly impossible to get diagnosed with Lyme because they don't want to admit.
Well, I was going through some research very early this morning that showed that the CDC actually altered the way they diagnose it and excluded huge chunks of indicators that basically, you know, made it far less ominous, of course. But you know, like I said, you know, government seems to be, you know, we're putting, I swear government has become a religion. Everybody says, well, if the CDC says this or if the government says that, man, yeah. I tell you, this cult of government is really disturbing because, you know, the government can exist to do some very good things. It can. But what we have found over the course of history, for very many, 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 many years, it's been doing things that we would never want any parts of. And that just doesn't stop. It doesn't stop, and it's frustrating.
Yeah. No, the CDC does do everything they can to make this appear much less. It is a GM disease. The spirochetes are particularly nasty all by themselves, but they have GM'd this and made it much more virulent and horribly difficult to deal with. And many doctors will not prescribe antibiotics. And I'm not a fan of global pharmaceutical. But antibiotics, if you have to use antibiotics, you darn well better use them because you're going to suffer if you don't. You're going to suffer if you do. I have a doctor now that is very helpful. I had a Lyme doctor that is no longer where she was and can't go to her. But they make it difficult to diagnose because they simply don't want to admit it's there. And now the Kansas City Lyme Association does have a map. In the most recent issue, they put out a very good newsletter monthly, and it does show that they now admit that it is in it's in all 50 states, and it was that way 20 years ago.
Sure.
But they now admit that it's in 49 states. I believe Hawaii is the only one that they claim isn't there, and it is there too. But it's a clinical diagnosis. You have to have a doctor that's helpful and one that's not scared of the local medical board. The doctor that the lady that I had many years ago for a doc got called to the state medical board twice.
That's exactly what I'm talking about right there. Right there is a primary example
disease.
Why government should have nothing to do with that type of activity of supervision of doctors trying to help people and forcing them essentially to violate their oaths. We have to take a break. Stay on the line. We'll be right back with Joe in Kansas. Ladies and gentlemen, Resurrect the Republic Truth Radio broadcast on RBN.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Well, a flood down in Texas.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Resurrect the Republic Truth Radio broadcast. And for those of you out there listening to this broadcast who appreciate the content, you want to keep us going at Resurrect the Republic, I'd ask you to go to rtrtruthmedia.blogspot.com and click on that donate button and send us some love. We could really use it right now. Everyone who's been listening knows that we're transitioning into a new state, and because of, you know, past things, we have a whole big hill to climb and to overcome. So we could really use your support. As well, you'll find there we'll be posting immediately following the show our biowarfare and Lyme disease piece with all of the links that we may not have been able to share with you today, but that are in it. And we will be adding more research links to that I have buried in my hard drive regarding Lyme disease. So we're on the line right now with Joe from Kansas, who also has Lyme disease. Anybody who would want to call in who has either their lives have been touched or experienced this in some way, shape, or form, you can call in 1-800-313-9443. The call lines are open. So, Joe, commercial breaks. So
yes.
You've been you've been suffering for quite a while. How has your family dealt with this?
They have been very understanding, which is much appreciated, because in many cases, you stated that there before. That's why I say I hope everybody that heard what you said, you were 100% truthful. You were 100% right on, because too many people, they're considered to be lazy. There's nothing wrong with you. It's in your head. Thank God I never had a doctor tell me that, because it wouldn't have gone well. I wouldn't have put up with it. But I did have doctors tell me that, no, there's no Lyme disease in Kansas. And I had something from KDHE, Kansas Department of Health, that showed at that time, even back in the late 90s, that there were cases in Kansas that had actually been diagnosed. And But thankfully, the doctor that I was speaking of a little while ago had to go to the medical board twice. And I said, well, who is turning you in? And she said, infectious disease doctors.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh, but...
you're right. They did not want the competition. Everybody likes to claim that this disease does not exist. And no, you have, you know, they will end up going to...
You know what? I don't even think it's about the competition. I don't think it's about the competition. I believe it because I've seen doctors have an overnight change whenever they've encountered these governmental agencies that put pressure on them. I've seen them going from being very compassionate, understanding doctors to overnight cutting people off and telling them not to come back. When they make a threat to a doctor to remove his license, essentially that's it. The jig is up. There's no more income. There's, you know, if you have a family, if you have mortgage payments, if you have business payments, if you have, you know, all of these other things going on, that kind of threat can be so overwhelmingly traumatic upon your senses. And, you know, I'm not giving them a free pass, but at the same time, they are human beings, right? So, I mean, it's just human nature. You're going to protect your own first. And this is the type of behavior, this bullying tactic. Personally, I think that there should be two designations, one government-approved, one not government-approved. Those not government-approved cures, treatments, and so on and so forth, should disclose that they're not government-approved, as well as the ones that are government-approved, and allow the free market to make a decision on what they want to go with. And if you've had something like that happen, you would actually have natural herbalists, natural healers, be able to at least try and use many of these natural remedies on people without fear of government reprisal. Now, of course, we know that the pharmaceutical industry pays off huge portions of, you know, they got lobbyists in Washington, D.C., and we know that the corruption from there, you know, it's pervasive. But, you know, I can understand there being, okay, so we're the government and we did all these studies and here's the official CDC position. So if you're not going to go with this, then whatever treatment has to be disclosed as being not government approved. Okay, but the true freedom is non-regulation, non-restriction. That's what freedom means, unregulated, unrestricted. True freedom means you get to make your own choice of what you take into your body to try and cure yourself. And then that would completely disempower the entire medical establishment. And as we know, they can't have that. So,
yes. Yeah, the pain with this is severe.
Yeah, it is. It's relentless.
The muscle. Yes, it's relentless. The muscle pain with this is severe. And it never stops. And when you treat it, I did improve, but it seems to be chronic. There is such a thing also. I mean, there is chronic Lyme. There is also something called post-Lyme syndrome. And it is somewhat similar, perhaps, to post-polio syndrome. I think it's worse, quite frankly, because whoever GM'd these spirochetes knew precisely what they were doing. It was done as a bioweapon. And so, therefore, it doesn't exist as far as the government concerns.
Right. Now, I've heard of the argument that this is something that's existed for thousands of years, and it's just been recently weaponized. Because the one argument that was made is, well, we found a mummy that had the spirochete in him. This is something that's been blah, 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 blah. Yeah, but when you take it, when you condense it, when you take five tick-borne diseases and you combine them and you start experimenting with them, and then you start dropping them out of a plane on an island to do a test infection of biowarfare agents, and you're doing all of these kind of things. And what we know about Plum Island with foot and mouth and everything, they had to kill all kinds of animals. They had them in open air pens. So birds and everything else, whatever that they were contaminated with, whether it were ticks, whether it, whatever it was, birds then land on the island. They pick up the ticks and fly to the mainland. Boom, you have Lyme, Connecticut. It's not a real big leap. It's not, I mean, it doesn't take a magic bullet. It doesn't take theories of Jackie shooting JFK and all that other nonsense. It doesn't take big leaps of imagination to put two and two together here and come up with four. It's just really not that hard. And the fact that they don't make it that hard, they have not made it very hard for us to make the connection. But you have them sticking their fingers in their ears going, nah, 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 anytime anybody wants to address it for what it is. So, yeah, mainstream media they included.
They have gone after hard. Many doctors who have done research on this, Ed Masters from the University of Southern Missouri, Joseph Burruscano from back east, I don't recall all the names now, but they've Joseph Burruscano, MD, has done tremendous amounts of research on this. But there is a disease named after Ed Masters. There are many co-infections with Lyme. There's something called Ed Masters disease. There's Starry, S-T-A-R-I-I, pronounced E. And I don't even recall all the other ones now, but there's about four or five. And many times the ticks are also infected with these, so you're not just dealing with one disease. You're
no,
with multiple ones.
Multiple diseases, infect yeah.
Many body systems, and they will. Yeah. On family practitioners that do not understand this, well, you know, you have cardiac problems, you have joint problems, so you need to go to orthopedic.
You know, there have been times, Joe, on this show, there have been times where I've been sitting here and the fog comes over me, and most listeners have no idea when these moments happen. Usually, you know, I'll have something ready to roll just in case, but you know, the fog comes on that, you know, that it comes and goes. You know, the blurry vision comes and goes, the joint pain comes and goes, and you just never know when. It's kind of hard to, you know, my wife likes me to get into some sort of routine. And just when I get into a routine, a bout of this comes along and just knocks you down. So any closing words you like? We have a couple more callers on the line that I need to get to. Is there anything else you'd like to say before you go?
Well, what you just mentioned, yes, that happens. Now, my muscle pain is 100% of the time. It never stops.
Right.
So there you know, I am fortunate that it did not cross the blood-brain barrier.
I had that. That happened to me. Yeah.
Apparently it has with you. So I will pray for you, Tom, and thank you for talking to me. I appreciate it greatly.
Well, thank you. Call anytime and send me an email at rtrtruthmedia@gmail.com and let's stay in touch.
I will try to do that. I wish I could. I do not have internet. I'm in a very isolated area and you know, money is a problem.
We'll figure out how to get a hold of you. We'll figure out. You just let RBN know how I can reach you and I'll reach out to you.
Yes, you have my number, and if they talk to me afterwards, I'll be glad to give them my number.
Thank you. Do that, Joe. I want to keep in touch with you. All right.
Thank you for doing this, Tom.
Oh, God bless you, and you're welcome. Mike in Kentucky. Mike.
Well, fortunately, our numbers here in Kentucky aren't that great for a lot of these spirochetes, but, man, it doesn't take much of a Google image search to find the maps that show this, you know, Lyme disease coming right out of New England and other tick-borne diseases.
Yeah.
Besides, I guess, Michigan, Minnesota. I have to wonder why there is a concentration there from Chicago on up to Canadian border, but these spirochetes.
You know, it very well may have to do with shipping shipping animal shipping and all that kind of thing.
Sure, St. Lawrence Seaway across the Great Lakes. You know, there's inland waterways very easily transported.
Not to mention the birds.
I don't know about migratory birds between New York and Minnesota, but I would have to wonder about a lot of these others, other diseases that are showing up. But of course, you know, they used to put silver iodine in babies' eyes to stop the spirochete known as syphilis. And I drank several gallons of my own homemade colloidal silver. Mm-hmm. I think I probably had that H. pylori in the stomach that is commonly caused ulcers and acid reflux. And after I started doing the colloidal silver, it went away. I would have to wonder if you get the really small particle size, like 0.10 micron, I think it is, and 10 parts per million, if you do it right, in a pre 1938 method, I think, with the real fine wires, you can make it yourself at home and drink it by the gallon, and you won't turn blue like that guy from California that did. He did it on purpose, and the media went all crazy about that and demonized colloidal silver. But now there's a line of it on the market that's ridiculously expensive. But I mean, for $30 or $40, you can buy your own generator and make it yourself with distilled water and a saline solution. I've literally drunk I don't even know how many gallons of that stuff. And I'm pretty sure it got rid of my acid reflux, which could have been that stupid, well, there's all these others like C. difficile. There's that meat allergy that is, I forget what it's called. It's a, a technical name for the meat allergy that comes from that, Lone Star tick, with the white spot on it. And we didn't even have, when I was growing, we never saw those in Kentucky. And here in the last, maybe, I don't know, 8 or 10 years, I'm seeing a lot. The Lone Star ticks here in Kentucky with the little white spot on the back. And,
knowing what spreading. I know about these globalists and what they've said, and, going back to Larry Grunewald, that FBI guy that informed on the Weather Underground, and, he said he sat around at this table with these intellectuals, and you're talking about Columbia University professors and professionals from academia, all talking about the 25 or so million Americans that would have to be summarily either reeducated or executed when their revolution, their communist revolution, took shape. And these people penetrated all agencies of government. Education, and this guy said they were dead serious.
You get the position papers. Serious. You can find the position papers on a lot of this. Rewilding America, the Georgia Guidestones, of course, which I've seen. Finally got to see those in person a couple years ago, and filmed it. But there's position papers on setting up vast conservatorships and corridors of large carnivores and taking the locks and dams out of the Ohio River. And of course we've got the war on coal here in Kentucky, so a lot of people are alarmed about that, and that would be the next step, taking the locks and dams out of the Ohio River so you couldn't have barge traffic, and the premise would be to try to restore buffalo migration or some junk. They've got the maps. You can find America 2050 that shows the emerging mega regions, and where I'm at is left out of that, left out of the long-range planning for high-speed rail. So there are targeted areas of the country for depopulation. I don't think there's any doubt about that. You look at these long-range, multi-generational plans, and so what are they going to do? They're going to soften this up with disease. They're going to, make roadless areas. They're going to start getting rid of the utilities. The infrastructure will be allowed to decay and not be funded to be redone. And here in Kentucky, of course, and I was shocked when I read about it. Everybody's trashing Trump over these tariffs. Barack Obama put a 35% tariff on solar power back in 2012. Now here our own legislature here in Kentucky knocked back the credit for generating your own solar power or other, wind or whatever at home. You could run your meter backwards and get a credit. You never got paid, but you got a credit toward erasing your electric bill. Well, this legislative session, they knocked that back to 30%. And so you now, no matter how much electricity you generate, you're never going to get more than 30% per kilowatt hour. Of course, you never get paid for it anyway, but that seriously puts a dent in financing a home solar array. It was viable last year. You could, finance a $10,000 solar array and not have an electric bill most of the time, but not now. there would be a lot of people would be able to live off the grid, have their own little gas well, their own little water well, and occupy this area no matter what the New World Order wanted to do, as far as cutting off utilities.
They can't have that.
No, I think it's about protecting. It's not protecting domestic solar. It's about protecting the long-distance transmission of electricity and the control grid. They just put a massive solar farm outside of Lexington and Clark County for rural Clark Rural Electric. At the same time, the legislature did this. And the movie that comes to mind is Eddie Murphy, the Distinguished Gentleman. What was the big committee? The big committee that he, you know, was lured on to being a member of was the Power and Light Committee in Washington, D.C. It was so funny, man. The con man gets elected to Congress, and he finds out that he's nowhere. He's an amateur compared to them. You got to watch that movie. Yeah, I'll let you go,
there's
man.
So much truth in art, huh?
I'll let you go.
All right. Thank you, Mike. Thanks for calling in. We have John in California. Is John still on? Okay, we're going to go to break, and then we're going to pick up our caller from California on the other side. Resurrect the Republic, Truth Radio broadcast on RBN. We'll be right back.
This is the most transparent administration in history.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Mother of the moon, which built my sails, rose the sea of tears.
Welcome back. Resurrect the Republic, Truth Radio broadcast, Tom Lacovara Stewart. And it is very important for you to support Republic Broadcasting Network. But, you know, keep in mind that some of us out here don't get a paycheck. We are given a platform, and we do appreciate the platform to be able to voice our speech freely. But we exist as well on Resurrect the Republic off of listener donations. So if you guys, if you find the content of our programs beneficial to you, please go to rtrtruthmedia.blogspot.com and click on that PayPal button, or you can go to resurrecttherepublic.com and do the same. So we have a caller in our last segment here, John in California. John, you're on Resurrect the Republic.
Hi, Tom. Yes, I'd like to tell you about something that is completely natural. I believe it's from God, and it's very extremely affordable. Will most likely be a great remedy for what you were discussing today.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, for many various diseases, and for many years, thousands of years, it's been available, except for the United States, you know, the story there.
Yep.
This is something that a lot of people think is called waste product, comes from your fluids, otherwise referred to as your own urine.
Yeah,
and
I've heard about that.
As a matter of fact, when you are in your mother's womb, you are bathed in these fluids.
I know.
It's actually plasma from your own blood, and it's no waste product. And
I get
it's
it.
Worth checking
I don't know.
Out
Call me. You know what? I know that I at one point was a completely programmed cheaple. And I don't know whether it's just the remnants of my programming. I've looked into that. I've read about it, and I've seen some content on it, and I can't do it. I can do colloidal silver. I can do a lot of other things, but I don't know.
Let me say
this,
Tom.
Make myself do it.
Let me suggest something to you. Let me suggest something. There is one approach you can take. This works as a homeopathic. You don't actually need to drink a lot, so you can actually put just a small amount under your tongue. And even that alone could very well make a big difference.
Well, my grandmother used to tell me when I was a kid and I cut my finger to pee on it because it disinfected it. I don't know if that's the same thing, but she was an old Sicilian,
yes.
You know. But, you know, I it's something that I'm just going to have to still chew on, I suppose, there.
Well, Tom, for those other people that maybe have perhaps, I don't want to say more open mind, but maybe they're looking, searching for answers.
Yeah.
This looks like a natural vaccine. It develops the antibodies needed to
Hey, I'm not going to shoot down any potential theory if people want to give something a go or a try at it. I'm not closed-minded. I guess that there's just certain things that I'm not ready to. I don't know. I don't want to say desperate because I know I've heard a lot of these things that have sounded pretty kooky and they've worked. And, you know, you end up finding out a couple years later that, you know, it's a couple people tried it and it's worked. So I don't want to discount it. I don't want to dismiss it, but I just find it hard to grasp yet. But I'll try and keep an open mind, John. I thank you for that.
Okay, very
ladies,
good. God bless
yes.
you. Take care.
God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, keep an open mind. That's important. If we didn't, then we wouldn't be able to report on the things that we report on, right? Resurrect the Republic Truth Radio Broadcast, rtrtruthmedia.blogspot.com. Click that donate button. Come visit us at the site, and we will be posting. As a matter of fact, I believe it's already posted, Biowarfare and Lyme Disease on rtrtruthmedia.blogspot. We will see you on Monday. God bless all of you. See you then.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.